Peter Welch, you know, we haven't talked for a little while. Talk a little bit about what you're seeing in the House of Representatives. I mean, I know there's not a lot going on right this moment, but what are you hearing and seeing in terms of, is there a change in the tenor of the politics of the House based on the election?
Well, there is. There's two things I'm seeing. Number one is that the Republicans are basically acknowledging that the president won on the revenue question. And they're going through a bit of a dance to get to where the president is. I think they're going to get there, whether it's before or after January 1st. That's a question, but they're going to get there. So there's grudging acknowledgement that the American people know that higher taxes on the top 2% have to be part of a balanced deal. The second thing that I hope we are able to develop is a lot of my Republican conservative colleagues, when I asked them, what was the message from your constituents, they said, it's, hey, why don't we all get together and get some things done? So I was talking, for instance, to Steve Womack from Arkansas. He's quite conservative. He got like 78% of the vote. And that's what he said his conservative voters wanted him to do. And the interesting thing is that's exactly what Vermonters were saying to me. And obviously, Vermont's totally different than Arkansas. So there's just a real hunger by the American people that's finally penetrating, I think, members of Congress, that the goal here is getting things done, not a continuation of the ideological warfare. And let's hope we can move that into practical legislative action.
Now, you said something, Peter Welch, that was interesting to me, and that is the idea that it might get done after January 1st. Now, the American people have sort of been given this picture of the great cliff. Like Andy Borowitz, the great humorist, always says, you know, our theory about the great cliff is that you go over the cliff, and then if you're a roadrunner, you get over to the next cliff. But if you're the coyote, you fall to the bottom and you're done. Are we done if we don't get it done by January 1st?
We're not. It's better if we get a deal that we reach by mutual agreement and that we get that before the first of the year, because I think it would give a boost in confidence that the dysfunctional Congress is starting to change its ways. And incidentally, I think that's really essential for America, that Congress do change its ways. But if we are unable to get it done before the first of the year, and we do it in the first week or so of January, then I think that'll be fine, and the markets will accept that. But who knows what the markets will do. One of the challenges here is that as much as John Boehner knows, and I think he wants a deal, that the president won the election and he's going to get his revenues, he represents a caucus where the folks he in his conference all ran on the platform of lowering taxes for wealthy people, not raising them. So he's got this dilemma where he knows that nationally rates are going to go up, but he's got his members of Congress who have campaigned on lowering them, so he has to persuade them to vote to do something they campaigned against. And that, you know, frankly, is a very hard thing to do. So will he find himself in a situation where if he waits until January and there's a bill on the floor, by that time, as you know, that we'll be back technically into the Clinton era higher rates on all of us, he then asks his members to vote for a tax bill that would lower rates and his members wouldn't get in trouble with Father Grover Norquist.
Does Norquist still have that kind of power, or is he a has-been?
No, I think he's still got some grip on a lot of the members who regrettably signed that pledge. You know, Norquist makes a big deal about having the signed, written pledge in a safe. So you know that if things change, the, quote, violation of that pledge will be used against any of the Republicans who vote for a tax increase. So Norquist's influence is diminished because it's an absurd proposition. But I also think that a lot of my Republican colleagues are nervous about what might happen in a primary. I mean, keep in mind, the most extreme members of the party have won some of these, or the Republican Party have won some of these primaries. You know, Joe Donnelly from Indiana is a Democratic congressman because Richard Lugar got defeated by a very right-wing Richard Murdoch. And, of course, Claire McCaskill is back in Missouri because Mr. Aiken, the most conservative of the candidates, and very extreme, the quote, legitimate rape candidate, he won the nomination in Missouri. So those extreme right-wing folks are winning primaries on the Republican side, and my colleagues are nervous about that.
So when the deal, when the great deal is made and set into stone, and assuming Boehner can get his people to come along or enough of them to come along, will the Democrats plus the people who come along be enough? Are you following me, Peter?
Yeah, we don't know. This is where we won't know until there's something that is agreed to between the president and the speaker. And bottom line, if the speaker is going to give on revenues, he's going to want to have something on cuts that then gives him an opportunity to make the case to his conference why this is as good a deal as he can get. But the more he gets on cuts, the more opposition will be on the Democratic side, particularly if it's anything related to Medicare. So where the president's going to end up on this remains to be seen. But I think a lot of us have real confidence in this negotiation that the president is representing us very well. Keep in mind, he ran on an explicit platform of raising taxes on the top 2%. And who can recall a presidential candidate running on that platform? And he won. And not only did he win the majority of the vote, but a majority of the Romney voters on exit polls indicated they supported the president's position on taxes. So he's in the room knowing that he's got an electoral mandate, and he knows that Boehner knows that. So the president, I think, is in a very strong position, and he's playing his negotiating approach, I think, very well. He's solid, he's firm, but he's not confrontational, and he's doing this in the Obama cool-as-a-cucumber kind of way. bottom line, I think what's really, really critical here is that the president get a significant revenue contribution as part of a debt reduction plan, and that the revenues come from the top 2%. And there's flexibility in how he can do that, because he can raise the rates. He can raise the rates a little bit less than what he was proposing, but do something on deductions and exemptions that affect the bottom line tax payment of the top 2%.
The oil companies, for example.
Sure. There's a variety of ways he can get to where we need to be. And again, I do have confidence that the president is going to keep to his campaign commitment that, A, we're going to have revenues, and, B, they're going to come from the top 2%. He knows the middle class is struggling, and he knows that in order to get the middle class back on its feet, dealing with the deficit in a responsible, balanced way is crucial.
Peter Welch of Vermont, the only congressman in Vermont, we appreciate your being with us. And when we come back the next time, we'll ask you about Medicare, okay?
Thank you.